The reading is taken from the second epistle to the Thessalonians, in the second chapter, starting at verse 13, reading into chapter 3. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by mouth, word of mouth, or letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Lord, would you open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word? Lord, we long to hear from you. So Holy Spirit, would you fill each of us afresh this morning? In your precious name we pray. Amen. A poster was found in a church in France that said these words: when you enter this church, it may be possible that you hear the call of God. However, it is unlikely that he will call you on your mobile. Thank you for turning off your phones. If you want to talk to God, enter, choose a quiet place, and talk to him. If you want to see him, send him a text while driving. God longs for us to speak to him, and he longs to communicate with us, and he speaks to us and directs us through his word. And his message to us is very clear in our passage today from Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. The message is about our lives as Christians. The Christian life begins with God's love and responding to the good news, the gospel. And Christian life continues by sticking with the gospel and being changed by God's love. And we get to the finish through God's love and the power of the gospel. And as I begin my sabbatical and say goodbye to you all until March 2019, there is no greater message that I can pass on to you this morning. Verses 13 and 14. Paul writes, but we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here Paul sums up what it is to be a Christian. It all begins with God's love. You can't miss it, can you? Paul describes the Thessalonians as brothers and sisters loved by the Lord. You see, God calls people to be his people because of his love. Purely his love. It doesn't begin with us searching out God. It doesn't actually even begin with us being particularly lovable. The Christian life certainly doesn't begin with us being particularly good or religious and acceptable to God. We know that because Paul tells us what God's love leads to. God's love leads to people being saved and sanctified. God's love is seen at the cross. It's seen as Jesus died on the cross, taking the punishment we deserve for turning our backs on God, so that we might be saved from the judgment heading our way. But that salvation isn't just salvation from sin and judgment. It's salvation to be God's people. As God sets us apart to be his people, as God changes us from the people we were to the people he wants us to be through the work and power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to empower us so we can be the people he created us to be, to reach our full potential. The Christian life starts with God's love and the calling to become his people, saved by Jesus and changed by the Holy Spirit. And that call of God comes from the gospel. God called you to this through our gospel. And God's love, as expressed in the gospel, demands our response. As Paul says in verse 13, we are saved through the sanctifying work of the gospel and through belief in the truth. You see, hearing this good news, the truth of Jesus' death on the cross to bring us forgiveness, is the start of our Christian life. And responding to the truth of God's call to turn to him, to become his adopted children, is how we start out as Christians. Heeding the call to come to God, whoever we are and whatever we're like, but not to stay as we are, but to become the people he wants us to be by the power of his Spirit. That's how we live out our Christian life, to follow the God who is love. Now, if you don't know that for yourself, then you haven't started out on the Christian life yet. And God's call to you this morning is to respond to his love and turn to him. This is the only way to start so that you might finish. And if you want to start that journey today, please do speak to me at the end of the service, as I'd really love to pray for you. Paul describes the goal of the Christian life in verse 14, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you do know this for yourself already, if you have started out on the Christian life, then how we started the Christian life is how we continue the Christian life. Let's look at verse 15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings which we passed on to you, whether by word or mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. In verses 13 and 14, Paul looks back at the start of the Christian life. And in verses 15 to 17, Paul talks about continuing the Christian life. So what does Paul urge these Christians to do? Well, since God called them to the Christian life by the gospel, verse 15, they must stand firm and hold fast to the teachings passed on, whether by word of mouth or by letter. The reason why Christians fall away, the reason why so many people fail to go on as Christians again and again, is because they fail to hold fast to the teachings of the Bible. I know it doesn't sound particularly flashy or exciting, but this is the only way to keep going in the Christian life. It is to stick with the truth that started us out on this life. And the provision of this truth is a wonderful example of God's love. He doesn't leave us to do the Christian life alone. But he continues to speak to us by his word and equip us by his Spirit. This is where we get our security, The message that started us out is the message that continues to feed us and nourish us. And Paul encourages us to stand firm and hold fast. Recently, I read about a pilot called Henry Dempsey who was flying his 15-passenger Beechcraft 99 turboprop from Lewiston, Maine to Boston. At 4,000 feet, he heard a noise in the back of the plane where the rear stairs are. So he turned the controls over to his co-pilot and he walked back. The plane then hit some turbulence and knocked him against the door, and the door fell wide open, and Dempsey was sucked part of the way out of the door. He fell face down on the steps and grabbed for something, anything that might save his life. He caught a railing and he held on. And the co-pilot thought he'd fallen out and diverted the plane to a nearby airport. But when they landed, they found Henry Dempsey with his face 12 inches off the runway and with his hands so tight around the rails that his fingers had to be prized open. And it's this kind of grip that Paul encourages us to have on the teachings handed down on us. The only way to continue the Christian life and make it to the end is to hold on to the truth. And as we hold on to the truth, God holds on to us. And just as God's love in partnership with the truth started us out in our Christian lives, so God's love continues to work as we hold to the truth. He continues to change us and keeps us going. Verse 16, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. God encourages us through his word. He gives us eternal encouragement as we see where we're heading, knowing that the power taking us there is an eternal power. We're filled with good hope. Our hearts are encouraged as we are changed and strengthened in every good deed and word. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. Our Christian lives should be ones of holding on to the truth and lives of change, where we see ourselves letting go of ways in which we used to live, where sinful aspects of our characters are transformed, where our words become more and more truthful and less gossipy, more and more helpful in building others up and seeking their good than building ourselves up and being self-seeking. That's how the Christian life continues. How we started the Christian life is how we continue the Christian life so that we may finish the Christian life. And so that's what Paul prays for the Thessalonians in chapter 3. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Paul longs that they may make it to the end. He's reminded them that how we started is how we continue so that we may finish. He has the confidence that they will indeed hold firm to the truth and continue to change, doing the things the apostles command. And so he prays that they would finish well. He prays that God would direct their hearts into God's love, that they'd get a greater grasp and understanding of God's love as they hold on to his word, that they would experience God's love as they live as his people, that they would know God's love as he changes them in accordance with his word and will, and that they would reflect God's love themselves. And Paul prays that they would know the perseverance that Jesus brings. That perseverance where Jesus holds tight to us. That perseverance where we hold tight to him and his word. That perseverance that means we finish as we started, loved by God, called through the gospel, forgiven and sanctified, his dear children who believe his truth. God knows you. He knows every single one of you. He knows us all better than we even know ourselves. On Thursday, I went to a two-day New Wine conference. It was just for ladies. It was amazing. Can I encourage you to consider going to New Wine next summer? It's coming to Peterborough on our doorstep. David and I are going to week one. And New Wine is just fantastic teaching, fantastic ministry. And at the conference I was at this week, Thursday to Saturday, there was an opportunity to have a prophetic prayer appointment. Quite simply, you go into a room and two people who have never met you before spend a few minutes praying for you, and they then share with you what they believe the Lord has said to them for you. The two ladies praying for me knew absolutely nothing about me. All they knew was my name. I wasn't wearing my dog collar. Within seconds, the first lady said these exact words to me. I know they're the exact words, as I have a recording of them. I just feel that the Lord wants to bring you into a time of rest. Rest so that you can catch your breath. I just feel that it has been a very busy, demanding time upon you that has left you quite weary. God had my attention. She went on to say quite a number of other things about me that I was listening up to because God had spoken to her. In faithfulness, she prayed to him and asked him for words for me, and he gave her words all about me. She didn't know I'm about to go on a sabbatical. She didn't know that I am pretty exhausted. She only knew to say those words because she was listening for the promptings of the Holy Spirit, for his words for me. And I've got a note of all the words that were said. You see, God wants to communicate to us because he cares about us and he loves us. He knows everything there is to know about us. He wants to direct us. He wants his plans and purposes for our individual lives and for his church here to be fulfilled. It's a real honour and privilege for me to have been called to serve the Lord here in Hampton. But it isn't an easy task. My heart is to seek God and lead this church in the way that I believe he wants it to be led. And alongside a really supportive leadership team and PCC, that's what we all try to do as we lead this church in the way that we believe God would want it leading. And I believe that God has brought Rachel to this church for such a time as this. And I'm going to tell you something now that may surprise you. Rachel is not Wonder Woman. Just as I need your support, Rachel will need your support and your encouragement during my sabbatical. We live in a spiritual world, and we are in a spiritual battle. It was mentioned in our passage. God gives us his spiritual armor, and we are on the winning side. But sometimes the battle, especially against Christian leaders, is fierce. And Rachel may have to deal with difficult things in these next few months that she's just unable to share with you. She will need your patience and your understanding. I really believe that her heart is to follow God and serve him and to serve you all as part of God's church here. So please do pray for her every day. She's not going to be leading the church on her own. She has got the support of Nigel and Solly, the two church wardens. Please pray for them. She's got the support of the leadership team. Please pray for them and the PCC. But please do encourage her. Please care for her. Please love her. Because it's by our love for one another that people will know that we are his disciples. I get quite upset, really, when I hear church leaders say, "my church." Because actually, this isn't my church. This is God's church. And we all have the privilege of being part of his church. And it's our church. So please do step up. And do offer when volunteers are needed for various ministries, especially with that wonderful occasion of Christmas just around the corner, when we have such an opportunity to share God's love with the community of Hampton and beyond. Today is an emotional day for me in many ways, as I say goodbye to you all for 3 months, because you are my church family, and I really do care about you. I really do love you. And it's going to be very hard for me not to have contact with you for such a long period. But be assured, I will be praying for you all. The Thessalonians were the first fruits of the gospel, our ancestors, a model of how it should be for all believers. There is no more important message than I can impart to you as I go on sabbatical than the message already imparted by our loving Father God. The Christian life begins with God's love and responding to the good news, the gospel. The Christian life continues by sticking with that good news and being changed by God's love. And we get to the finish through God's love and the power of the gospel. We are all called to spread the message of God's love in word and deed, to stay connected to Jesus and make him known. So stay faithful to God's word and declare it lovingly, empowered and equipped by his Holy Spirit. Remain in his love and keep on loving one another. I close with the prayer from our reading today. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Amen. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found. Leaves the 99.